welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. With me today is going to be Captain Ulysses Lamont. He's a graduate from Washington and Jefferson College, graduated in 2016 and commissioned into the Quartermaster Corps. He's a reserve officer who currently serves with the 469th Combat Sustainment Support Battalion, which is based out of Mountain View, California, where he is the acting SPO. In 2021, he deployed to Iraq and Saudi Arabia as the unit commander for the 330th Movement Control Team based out of Fresno, California, in support of OIR and Operation Spartan Shield. Previously served as a unit commander for the 227th Inland Cargo Transfer Company out of Sacramento, California as well. And a great fun fact is Captain Lamont and I actually both graduated and commissioned together back in 2016. So seems like a little bit of a while ago, but it's good to have you back, Captain Lamont.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here and have this conversation, what we're about to go into.
So folks, today are we looking at company command. Now, everybody's company command experience can be vastly different. And today's we're going to be looking at it. What is it like to be a company commander on the active side versus the reserve side? For myself, I commanded two different units out of Fort Wainwright, Alaska. I commanded the Echo 4 Support Company of the 70th Brigade Engineer Battalion of the 25th Infantry Division back in from 2021 to 2022. And then I took a second command from 2022 to 2023 as the HHC commander of the 25th BSB of the 111th Airborne Division Arctic. So that has been my commands, having both a force support company command and an HHC command. As we just heard, Ulysses has also had two different commands.
Yeah, I was a 330th or movement control team commander as part of the 469 CSSB. And then also within that same battalion, I was an inland cargo transfer company commander, primarily MHE operations. So those were my experiences on the reserve side in command.
Now for us on the active side, like we are doing command, seems like 24/7, we're dealing with soldiers all the time. Whereas the reserve side, you guys are looking at that one weekend a month. So what kind of challenges did you face while in command, having only dealt one week in a month? Were you working a lot during the week with some soldier issues? Like, kind of tell us your story with that.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I could go so many different directions with it, but I'd say time management's tough. Because all these soldiers, including yourself, right, as a TPU commander, you have civilian commitments, right?
For the audience, what is that? You said TPU.
TPU is a troop program unit. That's just the designation for the reserve soldiers, from what I'm tracking, at least. Somebody could be a school teacher. They could be a nurse waiting for a new educational program. Any other like certification trainings for their job, what have you. And so a lot of times it can be really challenging, especially because we're only seeing each other 1 week in a month, maybe 2 weeks in the summer. For annual training. And so you kind of have to like balance. Not only are you balancing it as a commander, but you're balancing it with folks who frankly are all trying to balance their schedules and their commitments and families and all that. And it's just really tough because on the reserve side, though, we call ourselves, which proudly so, citizen soldiers, right? It's, really, again, it's that balance is probably the most challenging piece.
Okay. So do you find yourself doing a lot of command work outside of those 2 days or a week and a month?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I am happy to do it. I frankly am in the opinion of, I wish that company commanders were perhaps on ADOS orders, which for those who don't know, ADOS orders is you go on active duty. I believe it's Title 10, active duty operational support. You're just, kind of full time because it's a challenging job, because you have personnel management, you have training, you have, just any of the behavioral health services, like everything under the sun that you would still see on the active duty side, you know, though it's different, it's still prevalent on the reserves. You know, life still happens. The job still has to get done. So,
yeah, I've noticed some things for us on the active side. Like I am dealing with, or when I was in command, like I had to go pick up my soldiers from jail sometimes. You know, they got either a DUI or whatever instance might have happened. Did you ever have to experience instances like that?
Luckily, I never had to pick someone up from jail, so that I'm grateful for that. But I have had, and that's why I said behavioral health. You know, and it's an unfortunate truth. You know, again, we see it on the active duty side, and we see it on the reserve side, and I'm sure we see it in compo too as well. You know, National Guard. Suicidal ideations, those kind of things. And so, yeah, you know, outside of the battle assembly weekend, having to address those kind of things, get on the phone and all those. And, you know, we do it out of, you know, we really care about our soldiers, right? And if you don't, you shouldn't be in command. But, you know, it's still time, you know? And so during my latest command time as an ICTC commander, you know, and I'm going to keep going back to this theme of balance, right? And I think that's kind of what you're alluding to, like, hey, what kind of stuff did you have to do outside of the regularly scheduled battle assemblies? But, you know, I was doing an MBA program. You know, I had just come back from deployment. I was engaged to get married and started a brand new job in real estate. And so it's like, you know, but then you're still the unit commander. You still have all the same requirements and duties and responsibilities. So it's just really challenging. So, yeah, you have to work outside of the office in order to get it done. And do you get paid a little bit? Absolutely, right? You need to track those hours, and you know, I think it's by command. And so overall, it was, you know, still fine on that, but you know, still just big challenge, big shoes to fill.
Were you so you're able to work from home, or did you go into like the actual base to work out of?
It was a mix. So it's funny. I won't go on all the details, but it got broken up by the deployment as the 330th MCT commander when I deployed. So I had been the unit commander for the 227. I believe it was approximately 18 months. And then I transferred to be the 330th commander, deployed, came back for about a year. I was the assistant S3, and then came back and then became the commander again for about a year, a little over a year for the 227 again. So throughout all that time, for all three commands that I had, it was a mix, right? When I lived in Fresno, was tough. I didn't live in Fresno, but when I lived in Sacramento, I would pop into the unit quite a bit, to engage with my full-time staff. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, we had five full-time staff, members, all NCOs. So you had your HR, you had your maintenance, operations, you know, training and supply. And, yeah, they did a great job. So, you know, if you have a good full-time staff, it definitely makes your job easier, but yeah. You definitely have to either get on. I was on the phone at least at once a day for something Army related. Just because, again, the job never really stops. So
that's the difference. Whereas, like me on the active side, that is my everyday life. I'm not having to balance having a civilian job at the same time, but then I'm living the Army life 24/7 with my soldiers, but not having to do that balance of, like, for you with real estate. So if there's like something happens, like we're on it, it feels like sometimes as a commander, I'm living at the unit. There is many days as a commander, I know, all our fellow commanders can relate to it, where it's like, you get in early in the morning and then you just kind of like look at the clock, like, how is it like 6, 8 o'clock at night? It's like, where did my day go? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I got all this stuff done, but it's like, man, I got all this stuff more to do. And sometimes it seems as commanders, you're just kind of really, especially at the company level. That is where the rubber meets the road. Like, you are directly engaged with soldiers all the time. You're the one making the mission happen. You're at the point of execution. So, and kind of on that, have you seen that any of your fellow peers on the reserve side ever work full-time as commander? You ever see that?
No, I did not. I think I can pretty handily say that, no. Maybe if they were like deploying or something was going on. So whenever I was the 330th commander, I did get put on ADOS, but it was only in the beginning. Again, that's that active duty operational support orders, but it was leading up to the deployment. So that was really nice, but it happened to be during COVID. So it was a very weird time. So yeah, we were working remote. Like no one was going to the office kind of deal. And so that was the only time that's the only example I can really think of. You know, you can't really just go on ADOS orders or any kind of like active orders just to do command stuff. They're like, nope.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be great, but you're a TPU commander. That's just kind of the deal there. And you just have to be really, really good at managing your time. And I think also, too, it just comes with managing your full-time staff. And like I mentioned earlier, if you have a really good full-time staff, or at least you guys have developed a really solid process of how things get done, you're in good shape. You know, on the active duty side, again, I haven't lived that, but I think just by a factor of time, you're able to get stuff done and also FaceTime, you know, so it makes the counseling process a lot easier, I would assume, because literally we have so much limited time. So you want to do those quarterly counselings and follow up and see. So the only thing you can base it off of is empirical, like, data.
Yeah, your quarterly counseling is like, I've seen you three times.
Yeah.
Where our quarterly counseling, I've seen you for 90 days.
In a row. Exactly. Like you see them every day in the office. And like for us, it's just not the same. So you do your best, but that's one of the biggest challenges. And also with that limited contact time, it's the mentoring and relationship building. And, you know, that's just a big, there's so many different bits of that. But I do want to say, just as a little aside, like, overall, the command time was very, very rewarding, and I learned a lot, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, but you asked me what these challenges are. And
yeah, because, so, I mean, I think both compos, or all three compos, all have their unique challenges. I just think, looking at it, it's neat to get your perspective from the reserve side, because you do have that balance, and that is such a challenge that us on the active side, we don't have to worry about trying to balance a civilian job as well as being in command. So it's a neat to get that experience from you and to see how you handled it all. Now, one thing I kind of like, not just the challenges, but like the uniqueness of your, you know, you got your soldiers one day a month, or not one day, but one weekend a month.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes one day.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
So like I remember, so I did a simultaneous membership program. So I enlisted back in 2012 while I was in college. So it enabled me to be private pile for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did the basic training, went and drilled with my unit while I was in college. So I remember that point was like, you know, you show up, get there on Saturday morning, and you just kind of go through the motions. If you had to do your, you know, you do your analysis, if you got called on that, but then you go out there and do your PMCS, your vehicles out in the motor pool, then whatever type of train it was. Sometimes it felt like a rush weekend. Sometimes it felt like I'm just sitting around right now.
Or administrative.
So how are you able to get through all the training that you need to in a tight 2-day period for that month?
You know what? It's just being, so annually we have what's called our yearly training brief. I don't know, does active duty have that?
So yeah, we on the active side, we still have our annual training, our briefs, and then our annual training guidance, which then builds, hey, this is what we're getting after, which then goes for us as company commanders, we have to brief the battalion and brigade commanders a quarterly training brief showing, hey, this at a company level, this is how we're meeting your intent.
Okay.
Or whatever that year is in that quarter.
Okay. And where I'm at is, you know, I would say is to meet the training, I think it's really important that we are flexible, because a lot of times there's changing requirements. You know, we're operating with like a limited bucket of money, from what I understand, relative to active duty. And also it's just time, right? And so I think that in those 2 days, and kind of what I thought you were going to allude to earlier, and that's why I said administrative, sometimes it can be very administrative because it's tough, like individual readiness requirements, like medical, physical fitness, administrative readiness, anything under that umbrella is challenging. You know, now what's great in 2025, there's a lot of tools and stuff for soldiers to be able to get after a lot of their own things, the SGLI, DD-93, those kind of things, like at their own, you know, accord via self-service and all that. But it hasn't always been that way, right? But in those 2 days, you know, a lot of times you'll come to find that's like a prep weekend for an FTX, maybe a quarterly FTX, where we can really get after our metal, mission essential task list, right? And get to our METs, and by way of collective tasks, and then, as you know, right, get into your individual tasks and all that good stuff, right? And so I think it's really like in the reserves, we have to be that much more diligent and intentional about our time and how it's spent. and really look for high payoff tasks. And as you're familiar, having been in the reserves, like a lot of times it's that FTX, those FTX weekends, those weapons qualification weekends where we always try to lump in everything under the sun into that weekend.
Just cram it all in,
make it happen. Yeah. And concurrently do like all these other things, you know, that, you know, there's just, you know, it's 10 pounds into a 5 pound bag, right? Yep. And so that's a challenge, but annual training is just huge. Annual training is really important. Because again, it's not just on a month to month basis. It's what does the picture look like for the whole year? And like, where are you in your training cycle as a reserve unit? You know, what are you guys being tasked to do for the next year, 2 years out, so on and so forth. So I think it's really incumbent on the commander to have a firm grasp, not only is what your commander's intent is, but where are you guys really like in your timeline? Like have a really good situational awareness of like where you're at. So,
okay.
And proceed forward accordingly.
Okay. And kind of like with that planning, it just gave me a thought, especially now that the Army has transitioned to this Army virtual desktop. So now it's like, you know, soldiers can't just log on to their email on any computer now with a CAT card reader. They have to download this software. Has that impacted you guys? Like, would soldiers not be able to do a lot of work from home? Like, now you're pretty much, it seems like, forced to get that virtual desktop, unless you have your work computer.
Yeah. I mean, I use my virtual desktop on a personal computer that's, I use an external CAT card reader, and like it works, you know? So I think it's, I'm not in command now, but it's incumbent on these commanders to like have a firm understanding of like, what is the tool? How do I get access to the tool? And then how can I rinse and repeat that and make sure that each of the soldiers within my force can have access to those tools as well? Because, you know, though it may be tedious and tough to work through your S6 or what have you in order to like make that all happen, once you get it done, I mean, for a soldier to have a computer, at least, and I don't want to over-exaggerate by saying what I'm going to say, but like to have a computer in the reserves and have CAC-enabled access and everything like that, you know, they've finished all their certifications, cybersecurity, all that good stuff. You know, it's like a force multiplier, at least on the individual readiness side, the metric side of it, for especially as a reserve unit. Unfortunately, there's many a times where you've come to find like that's all the focus is sometimes, right? Doesn't mean that we're not focused on meeting our, you know, the medal, but it's just like, just from, how do you say, the foxhole of private, you know, private snuffy, right? Yeah. They just feel like that. Then that's what I mean, is they just feel like it's just like, all right, my medical readiness is good to go and those kind of things. So yeah, like getting the right tool in their hands is so important now.
So now we kind of hit on a lot of different challenges that you face and things that, you know, that I face and kind of how they go together. But I want to, you know, kind of wrap us to the point where like, what are some of the good experiences that you had that you can then kind of bestow your wisdom as a reserve commander on the future reserve commanders?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say one thing that I was really, and it's not something you can really just say like, all right, I'm going to go do that, right? But when you see, I was really fortunate to be able to deploy as the MCT commander. That was probably my most cherished memory thus far, like greatest experience, learn the most, all those kind of things. You know, we were in, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and just there was so much I learned in that year that has really helped me grow. And so to answer your question, I would say I would highly encourage officers, junior officers in the reserves. There's so many opportunities to deploy, but also deploy as a commander. If they're going to take command, I think that, because what have we been talking about here, right? It's been tough with time and like managing all that. So if you're saying, hey, I want to get my, because as I understand, I don't know the regulation on it, DAPAM, it's eluding me, but what identifies our KD time, mm-hmm. right? As a captain, right? To get that KD time, maybe jump on a deployment, right? You get on orders and you're prepping for the deployment, you execute, and then, you know, kind of round out your command time. I think that would be an excellent opportunity Because you want to know, you know, that's my advice, right? If I were to do command and I could have a clean slate and do it again, it's exactly what I would do to get my command time in. Deploy, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, OCONUS. It could be something here stateside, but you're full time and you're in it. But now if you're not afforded that luxury, I would say...
what's a good advice with, we talked so much about this balance.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's about to go into command on the reserves.
Yeah.
And... what is some good advice to be like, hey, this is a good way that you found on how to balance your time.
Yeah.
Support the mission, support your soldiers, as well as your own self, because you don't want it to, you know, negate yourself.
Yeah.
And if you suffer, everyone else is going to suffer. So how do you find that good balance going ahead?
Yeah, I think that's a good point that you make, that you just took the words out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you can't take care of yourself, if you're not taking care of yourself, you really can't take care of anybody else. And so that's a big, big piece there. So, but to answer your question, I would say first things first, for your family, your loved ones, whoever that may be, have a very clear and direct dialogue of what this is going to look like. Because, you know, if you can, adequately prepare them, and you should be accounting for your family and whoever is, you know, close to you, of what this is going to be, because it's going to be a huge time investment. Not a time suck or anything like that, because it's an investment, right? You're going to get so much out of command, but they need to know that it's going to be a lot of time involved. And then number two, I would say get with your employer and let them know what's going on. That's just another piece of it, just to kind of be communicate early and often of what should be expected. You know, you should know your drill schedule darn near a year out, right, of exactly what you're doing. So communicate early and often, because that really helps alleviate pressure off you when you're having to manage your schedule. So, and then maybe don't be like me. I feel like I bit off a lot more than I could chew at times. And so—
Don't we all?
Yeah. And something that one of my employers told me in the past, he used the phrase, and I love it, simplify to amplify. When you can simplify your life, to the best of your ability, God willing, right? But simplify your life, you amplify the result. So try to focus on one thing and as much as you can. Obviously, you have a job and you have your Army career. So the best case scenario is try to maximize, whatever you want to call it. So, and then the last thing to your point as far as advice is be a student prior to. So when you're that platoon leader, when you're that XO, or if you're on that random, you know, ADOS order in Germany or what have you, you know, as an aide de camp or something like that, like still be a student and know what you're coming up to do if you're taking command, and just have a firm grasp of like what all is entails, the systems access that's expected of me. Maybe have a good dialogue with the battalion commander who hopefully is still going to be there. Maybe see if you can get, a support form, right, from them. Just so you have a firm understanding of like what to expect. I don't think anything that we do is really that complicated per se. I just think that it does require time and a willingness to learn and understand. I'm a sales guy, right? And so everything's like a volume game. And so like with enough time, you get a good result, right? More often than not. So that would be my advice. Just be a student as my last bit there.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I think this has been a great discussion talking with you today. One, be able to, of course, catch up, having commissioned and graduated together. But that's a great thing for our audience just to hear another perspective of command, especially coming from the reserve side, because everyone's command experience can be vastly different depending on where you're at, what unit you're in. There's a lot that can go into it. But hearing from the reserve side and getting a better appreciation for what you had to do as a commander and all the reservists as commanders, because a lot of the challenges you discussed, it's like on the active duty side, yeah, we're dealing with that every day, but we just have more time and we're not having to balance that with other conflicting things as a civilian job. So
time is the theme.
Yes.
Time is definitely the theme.
Time is definitely the theme. So no, I really appreciate that, getting your perspective and be able to catch up. And I think that's a great way for audience to just continue to build that discussion. And I implore all our listeners here to just, you know, reach out to your counterparts in Compo 2 and 3, especially for those you've graduated with. That's how we continue to build the team, is learning from each other. Like maybe something works great on the reserve side could also be applied to the active duty side and vice versa. especially when you go out and you are working out in the field together, when the reserves and the active side are both completing the mission together. So it's good to build those relationships.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that because I'm kicking myself a little bit because I, now that we had a chance to have some dialogue off to the side of this, on your command experience, I really should have probably reached out to you a few more times about, you know, products. You know, I know in the Army we always say, like, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. I feel like I reinvented it many times. Where
wheel.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. So you asked about advice. Like, yes, if you're a reserve commander or going to be a reserve commander, I know you've got friends in Compo 1 and 2 or what have you, particularly Compo 1 by that variable of time. Yeah. To see about products and how do y'all do it. And it's probably going to work the, you know, we're all one force, right? So the more likely than not, it'll work on the reserve side as well. So kicking myself a little bit on that one.
So, I mean, that's the thing. We are the, you know, as you come up through the generations, you want to bestow your wisdom on the generation that's coming after you. So sometimes, you know, we got to learn these hard lessons, but we want to make sure those who come after us don't make the same mistakes.
Yep.
Not saying what we did is a mistake or not, but just we want them to always do better than what we did and set them up for success. And that's the goal here for the Logstat, especially if you, the company grade, can, you know, take these conversations they have, take these discussions so that you can learn from this, so that you can be better commanders than both Ulysses and I was. And just so that we can continue to serve the soldiers better. That's what it all comes down to, is making sure that every soldier of every rank, from the junior enlisted to the senior officers, everyone is being led and served so that we can have a unified and strong fighting force.
I agree.
So in that, I want to say thank you again for coming down today, being part of the Logstat podcast. Looking forward to having more conversations and discussions. And if you want to be able to have any more conversation discussions, where is a good place, especially with Captain Ulysses Lamont, where would be a good place? If anybody has any follow-up questions, where could they reach you at?
Yeah, my email, ulysses.j.lamont.mil. And again, I'm with the 469 CSSB out of Mountain View, California. We're under the 650th RSG. So feel free to send me a note. And yeah, happy to answer any questions with the, you know, the limited experience that I have on my command. And just like you said, you know, Garrett, there's so many different everyone has a different experience, you know, on that side. And I didn't even know about, you know, I appreciate you, you know, wanting to bring me on to kind of just share my experience, you know, and it's, it definitely has me reminiscing a little bit on, like, you know, the good things and bad things and, you know, the wins and losses and mistakes and just, but overall it's, I just want to round it out to say, for me, I'm so grateful for the amount of command time I was able to have in the reserves, because I feel like there's no other position, I'm sure many people listen to this have heard it, there's no other position in the Army where you can be more effectual than at the company level as a company commander and actually see the results of the work that you're putting in. So thanks for having me again.
Of course. Well, good to have you. So that will close us out for today. Can't wait to see our next discussions, but this is it for today's podcast of the Logstat. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.